Today's daf is Bava Kamma daf Tzadi Beis. We left off on daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis. We're at the two dots, about 10 lines before the end of the page. Zakotitz Nuti Yosef. So the Mishnah said that if a person cuts down someone else's his own trees, so he's not allowed to, but he's pater. If you cut down other people's trees, though, you're going to be chayiv. So says the Gemara, Tani Rabba Bar Rechana Kameh de Rav, Shori Haragta Netiyosi Katzatzta. What if one guy says to another guy, Reuven says to Shimon, you killed my shor, you cut down my trees, so you owe me money. So Shimon's response is not that I didn't do it, but rather he says, Ata Matali Lahargo, Ata Matali Lakotzatzo. You're the one that instructed me to do so. You told me to kill your shor. You told me to cut down your trees. Halacha is potter. He's going to be potter. So Amar Lei, Imkein Lo Shavak Techay LeBriyasa Kol Kaminei. He says, what do you mean? No one, how can you possibly have a justice system at all? A person could always say, you instructed me to do that. Every time I say, you owe me money because you did something to me, so there's going to be no such thing as Din and Ezekin, because I'll always be able to say, no, you instructed me to destroy your property. You instructed me to hurt you. So you're never going to have hurting you may be different, but you instructed me to destroy your property. So you're never going to have a situation of any sort of chiyuvim for Ezekin. So Amalei Isamya. So he said back to him, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to just erase the brisa that I have that teaches this? There's a brisa that we have a tradition that the brisa says this, that this is a valid excuse, and you get off the hook if you just claim that the guy instructed you to do it. So what should I do with that brisa? So Amalei Lo Titagi Masnisach Bishara Omelarigo Bi Ilana Omelikitza. It's not very simple what you do with that brisa. That brisa must be talking about a shor that's going to get killed anyway, and a tree that's omid the ktsitsa, a tree that's supposed to get cut down anyway. So since it's going to be knocked down anyway, so then you could say that since it's a shor shehemis, it's a shor that killed somebody, so it's going to get killed. Or it's an ilan omid the ktsitsa, Rashi says, in ashera, or any eitz that's not to the rishus harabim, any eitz that's leaning over into the rishus harabim, umisyari shemiyipal adam yamus, and it looks dangerous, it looks like it could fall on somebody, and somebody could die from it. So in that's when we say that if I come to you with a claim that you killed my ox, you cut down my tree, you have the right to respond that you were instructed to do so, and you get off the hook if you say that. So says the Gemara, wait a second, but that solves the problem of fixing our justice system and understanding how there could still be idea of dinin nezikin. But ihachi maikatayimle. But then what's the taina? If it was a shor omid la'ariga and ilan ha'omid l'ktsitsa, so what was I claiming when I said you killed my shor, you knocked down my tree? I should just write you a thank you note. Thank you for taking care of it. I don't have to go through the trouble now. So what kind of taina is it? So the amalei anabi ina l'mevad ha'mitzvah. No, the taina is that I can taina. I wanted to do that mitzvah. The taina v'shafach v'chisa. We darshan the guy who does the shechita, he should be the one to do the kisui adam. So it's when you steal my mitzvah from me, that's my taina. It was my mitzvah to do. It was my. So apparently it's a mitzvah to kill a shor that kills somebody. It's a mitzvah to obviously it's a mitzvah to cut down an asherah tree. It's a mitzvah to cut down a tree that's threatening. And it happened once that a guy shechted an animal and his friend quickly came and did the kisui adam. And Rav Gamliel's mechayiv, the person who did the kisui, to pay the person who did the shechita asar zuvim, because he stole his mitzvah. And you're not allowed to steal somebody's mitzvah. The person wants the zuchus of being able to do the mitzvah themselves. There's a discussion in the Tzvor Shar in Simul Chav Ches, in Hilchos Kisidam, in Yerodea, whether you're allowed to be mechabed someone else to do the kisui. Right? Are you allowed to say, I'm not going to do the kisui, but I'm mechabed somebody else to do the kisui? Now, certainly to steal it, we see in our Gemara, that's it, that you're not allowed. But let's say an Chash V'Talmud Chacham walks into the Shachtais after you shachted the oaf or the chaya, and there's blood on the floor, and there's kisui to be done. So can you be mechabit someone else to do the mitzvah? Are you allowed to pass up what is essentially your mitzvah in order to allow someone else to do the mitzvah? So this is a major discussion. It relates to the discussion we had on Shabbos, last Shabbos, about the two people who each have a chatzi zayis matzah. matzah. So what do you do? Which one eats it? And we had the related discussion, if I have a kazayas of matzah, but there's someone that's a great Talmud Chacham that's there, who's a greater Talmud Chacham than me, or a greater tzaddik than me, can I go and give him my kazayas of matzah as a way of being mechabed him? So Rav Asher Weiss writes in a tshuva that he's pretty sure that you can, and that it's a great mitzvah to go help a Talmud Chacham do a mitzvah, or a tzaddik do a mitzvah, and he thinks that you can, but it's a little bit difficult to understand, because you have to worry about your mitzvahs first. But anyway, that's in terms of being mechabit someone else to give up on your mitzvahs. So Tzvushar thinks that you're allowed to give someone else the opportunity to do the kisui in Yaradeya. But over here we're talking about someone who steals the mitzvah from you. So Tosfos has a couple of interesting points. First of all, he says that if you learn the sugi in Chulin Daf Pei Zayin, you'll see that the schar, the yud zehuvim, is really for the bracha more so than for the mitzvah. So he says, what about for the mitzvah then? What do you pay? So he says, no, the mitzvah and the bracha is one unit. So it's only 10 zehuvim for the mitzvah and the bracha. But he says, if let's say, for instance, if someone takes away the ability of saying Birchas HaMazon from you, so he says it's four brachos, so it's mem zehuvim, right? If v'schar Birchas HaMazon arba brachos mem zehuvim, he says. And he says umaisa be'echad shekaru shat flikros b'sefer Torah. It happened once that the Gabbai called someone up for an aliyah. Uba achar v'kadam v'kara, and someone else came up instead and took the aliyah. V'shal Rabbi Natan, and they asked Rabbi Natan, what do we do? So va'amar lo sheyitin lo tarnagolas lishko tachas osam shtei brachos. He said, I'll tell you what you do. He missed out on two brachos. Give him a chicken to shecht. This way he'll have the bracha of the shechita, he'll have the bracha on the kisei adam, and good, and you're done. And that way he'll compensate for it. Says the Tosfos, lo ve'in yir l'ri tamzeh. The Ri doesn't think that this is correct. Because if that's the case, why did Rabbi Gamliel make the guy pay in our Gemara yud zehuvim? He should have just provided him with another opportunity for a bracha. All I should have done if I wanted to give it back was shecht my own chicken and have him make the bracha on the kisui. So apparently the Ri holds that each and every mitzvah is an independent unit and one chiyuv has nothing to do with the other. I can't compensate. It's a mu'uvas l'yuchel iskon. If you missed out on the opportunity to do the kisui adam on your shechita, so you missed out on that. You're never going to get that back. Yes, you'll do a kisui adam on another shechita, but that's a new mitzvah. That's a brand new chiyuv. You would have been chayiv to do a kisui adam on a new shechita anyway. It has nothing to do with the one that you missed. Says, furthermore, Rabbeinu Tam holds that if you get to hear the bracha that the other person makes and you enter Amen, so there's no reason that he should have to pay the Yud Zehuvim, because you're actually getting greater schar for answering Amen than he is for saying the bracha. So Adrabah, he's being mezaka you. He's not taking anything away from you. Rabbeinu Tam came up with another reason why not to give it, to make the guy pay at all, because the Bavel ain't done a milsad lasbei chesron kis kudamar la'el. That in Bavel, any time there's an issue that doesn't involve chesron kis, any time no one loses money from it, we're not done such cases in Bavel. The major chakira that you have in the achronim over here, the rimi lunil, has a suffix whether the chiyuv of giving the yud zehuvim is a knas chachamim, or it's a takanas chachamim in order to make the mitzvos chavivos l'baalehem. Meaning, is it a penalty that the chachamim imposed upon someone who takes away someone else's mitzvah? Or is it stam, not a penalty, not a knas, as a punishment, so to speak, but rather it's just a takana the chacham made in order that we should appreciate the value of mitzvos? L'may nafkamina, whether it's a knas or a takana, nafkamina is if you're moda, right? Moda b'knas is pater. But if it's only takanas chachamim, then there's no din of moda being pater. And the implication of this rimi l'nil, Tzos points out in Simshin Peches, the implication is that moda b'knas pater applies even to knasos drabanan, which we may not have realized. That's somewhat of a controversial topic. Because you see, even if it is a knas, it's clearly only a knas midrabanan. The Rivash has a tshuva where he discusses, what if someone grabs a mitzvah from you b'shogeg? So does he have to pay the Asar Zuvim? So he says, no, he's pot from the Asar Zuvim. Apparently he understands because it's a knas. If we're a takana to appreciate the value of a mitzvah, what difference does it make whether it was mezid or shogeg? The point is you should appreciate the value of a mitzvah. But if it's because of a knas, I can understand very well, they only made the knas in the case of mezid where I did it on purpose. But in the case of shogeg, you can understand very well that there's no shogeg. That for shogeg, you'd be potted. Now the... Smack writes on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, even though we're not done Dinei Knesos Bizman Hazeh, so this isn't really so practical for us, the idea of Yud Zehuvim, because assuming it's a Knas, we wouldn't impose this on anybody. Still, we learn from here that you did something, that you should know you did something wrong, and you need to ask Mechila from the person that's the Bach and the Taz quote to the Shulchan Aruch, the comment of the Smack. So the point is that you should know to ask Mechila, because it is in fact considered that you did something wrong. Okay, Vaiter, says the Gemara Vaiter. Amar Rav Dikla Ditan Kava Asula Mitzay. If you have a tree that has a kav of fruit on it, you can't cut it down. Mesay Kami Hebizai is like Sena Rova. Apparently, only if you have even only a rova of fruit, you're not allowed to cut it down. So it's more shiny zaysim de chashiv. You know, olives are much more chash of fruits, so if it has a rova, you can't cut it down. Amar Rav Chanina Lo Shachiv Shiv Chaspari, Elik the Katz Teinasa Below Zimna. Frightening comment. Rav Chanina says, Shivchas, my son, didn't die except for the fact that he cut down a te'ena below Zimna, meaning apparently he was a tzaddik, he did nothing wrong except for this, he cut down a fig tree when he wasn't supposed to, and therefore that's what he died for. So this is a famous discussion. I'm told that Rabbi Willig won't paskin cutting down tree shilas because of this line of the Gemara. It's just a little scary that you're messing with things that are very frightening. But nevertheless, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in the Tshuva, and this is where it gets really scary. He says, I don't understand. If Shivcha, the implication is this guy, Shivchas, this son, was a great Talmud Chacham in Yirei Chet, because you're saying, I know the only thing he could have done to have deserved to die is this, means he must have not done anything else wrong. So if he was this great Talmud Chacham in Yirei Chet, then why did he violate the Yisud Arayis of Bal Tashchis? Well, what was he thinking? Why did he cut down the tree? So he says, it must be, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, unbelievable, it must be that it was a situation where it was mutter to cut down the tree. But still, because of it's still not a midas chassidus to cut it down, and since he was a chassid, he got punished midah k'neged midah. He cut down a fig tree kodem zmana, so he died before his man. Even though it was in a case and it was in a situation, we're going to see what those situations are, that it was mutter to cut it down, he still died before his time. So that's why a lot of people shy away from dealing with these types of shailas, because that kind of comment of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that even when it's mutter, it's so dangerous, so threatening to cut down a tree. However, the Tshuva's Binyan Sion, Rabbi Yaakov Altlinger, says that it can't be. It can't be that it's mutter and he got killed for it. It's not shaykh that you're going to say that it was totally mutter, and even though it was totally mutter, he got killed for it. You have to say that he made some sort of misjudgment in terms of the amount of fruits that were on it, in terms of whether, in fact, it was mutter or not. But he misjudged the situation. It has to be a case that it's aser. In fact, Halach Lemaisa, the Rush writes, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted in the Piskei Tshuva, that even if it's just Saruch L'Makomo, even if the tree is just in the way, and you need the place where the tree is, that itself is going to be mutter. So again, we try to be machmir. If there's any fruits on it whatsoever, we sell it to the gardener or something and make it his tree and let him deal with it, and he'll cut down his own tree or something like that. But may Ikar Adin, if the tree is not a productive tree, it's not a tree that's going to give you fruit, or it's going to be more valuable for its wood, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, or you need the space, may Ikar Adin, you read the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim, it seems in the beginning of the second Chiluk Yardaya, it seems completely mutter. Anyway, says Gemara, Am Ravina, Vim Haya Mu'ula Bidamim Mutter. Ravina says, number one, if it's more valuable cut down than it is up, so then it's mutter, meaning if it's more valuable for its wood than it would be for its fruit, so then it's mutter to cut it down. Tani Nami Hachi, Rak Eitz Asher Teda, the Pasuk says, that any tree that you know that is not an Eitz Machal, that you're allowed to cut down when you go and you lay siege on the city. So Zei Ilan Machal, that's a reference to an Ilan Machal. Ki lo Eitz Machal hu Zei Ilan Srak. I mean, the way the Gemara understands it is, Rak Eitz, the way the Pasuk sounds like it's saying is, only fruit, only trees that you know don't bear fruit, those you're allowed to cut down. But the way the Gemara is darshaning it is, Rak Eitz Asher Teda Zei Ilan Machal. You're even allowed to cut down an Ilan Machal. And you're also allowed to cut down an Ilan Strak. So says Gemara, well, of course I'm allowed to cut down an Ilan Strak if I'm even allowed to cut down an Eitz Machal, of a tree that has fruits on it, when I'm attacking a city. So what's the Chiddush? Lahaktim Strak L'Machal. Now the point is that when you're attacking a city and you need to cut down trees, if you have the ability to make the choice, you should choose the non-fruit-bearing tree over the fruit-bearing tree. Yachal Afilu Mulu B'Dam. damim, I might think that even if it's worth more for its wood than it is for its fruit, so still the ilan srak should take precedence. Tamalomer rak, that's why it says rak, that then it doesn't really make a difference, because then they're both completely mutter. Shmuel aisilei arisei tamrei. Shmuel's aris brought him some dates. Achil toim bu taim edachamrei. And he tasted within the dates a little bit of a taste of wine. So amrei my high. So he said, what's going on? Why did these dates taste so funny? So amrei beni gufni kaimi, because they grew amongst the gufanim, so they must have gotten a little bit of the tam of the gufanim. Amrei mechakshi b'chamre kolei high. They're causing such weakness in the gufanim. They're taking away so much from the gefanim. L'machra I see the mikurayu. Tomorrow, bring me the roots of these dates, because I don't want them to destroy the gefanim. Clearly, apparently, the gefanim are much more valuable than the tamarim. Right? That's what Tosfos writes. Mashman dekufni adifi midikli. But Frank tells us, wait a second. The Gemara in Ksuba says when it's nafla ksafim, when a woman receives money, yilakach ben karka dikli yilakach ben karka. You should buy karka with it. What if you have a choice? Dikli v'ilani. You have a choice between dekel or regular trees. Dikli, you should buy a dekel tree. Ilani v'gufni, if you have a choice between the lesser trees or the gufanim, ilani, you should buy the ilanos. So you see that alma gufani gari, afil mi ilani, degree mi dikli. So you see that gufanim are on the lowest level. They're a lower level than an ilan, which in turn is a lower level than a dekel. How can our Gemara imply then that the dekel is less valuable than the gefen? So that's also a simple chiluk. V'yishlomer de begufanim kishadim toreach lezamer lesakin hakerem yesh ben revach gadol. Gefanim can be fantastic, but it's a ton of work. So when you're talking about buying from the nechasim of the woman, so you don't want to buy something that's going to be high maintenance. You want to buy something that's very easy to maintain. But in terms of value that it can produce, if you really put the work in, so the gefanim are certainly superior to the dekel. Says Gemara Vayter of Chista Chazal. Tali Begufni, Rav Chista saw that there were some palm trees, the beginnings of palm trees growing near his gefanim. Amrei Larisei Akrinu Gufni Kani Akrinu, uproot those palm saplings. Gufni Kani Dikli, Dikli Lo Kani Gufni. Because gefanim can be used to buy dekalim, dekalim can't be used to buy gefanim. And essentially, gefanim are more valuable. New Mishnah. Even though you give the guy money, let's say you damage a person, so you paid him back, still you don't get mechila until you ask mechila from him. This Halacha Mishnah points out is a stira in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chovel Mazik that Einu Doma Mazik Chaver Begufa Lemazik Mamono. If you mazik the mamon of someone else, so once you pay, you're totally, you have your kapara. But if you're mazik, you're chovel on his guf, so then you need to ask for mechila. That's what he writes in Chovel Mazik. The Rambam, however, writes in Hilchos Tshuva that if you steal from someone, even if you return the money, you have to ask for mechila. So Lechemish says, it's a stira. Which is it? Do you or do you not have to ask for mechila when you're mazikim? So Lechemish says, you have to be mechalik between stealing and being mazik. When I'm mazik somebody, so I didn't get any hana from being mazik somebody. So because I don't get any hana from it, and it's not as heartbreaking for him to lose it, he sees that I just destroyed it, that it's not like I'm getting hana. So if I'm not getting hana, it's not as heartbreaking for him, then I'm not going to have to ask mechila. All I need to do is reimburse him. But if I steal from him, I need to reimburse him and ask mechila, because it's much more heartbreaking for the person. But certainly when a mazik begufo, even after I pay him back, I certainly have to ask for mechila as well. Shnemer v'ata shev eishas v'gomer, that Avimelech was told to return Sarah. So minayin shem lo machalo shu achzari, and how do I know that if the person who was wronged is not mochel, that he's a cruel person? Shnemer v'espal Avram elokim v'yirap elokim es Avimelech, because you see Avram davened for Avimelech. So fract all the achronim, wait a second. That tells you that Avram Avinu davened for Avimelech. That doesn't tell you that if you don't act like Avram Avinu, you're a cruel person. Why does it? Maybe Avram was a midas chasidus. Avram did a lot of things that probably we wouldn't have done, or we're not necessarily required to do. So just from there, you can see that you're cruel if you don't daven for if you don't accept the bakashas mechila. So perhaps the issue is, and Ben Yoyada alludes to this, is that there's an isra of los sechanim, that you're not allowed, when you're dealing with a non-Jew, you're not allowed to give him things that he that you're not mechuyev to give him. So you're not allowed to give him a matnas chinam. So the fact that Avram did that, obviously he held that he was mechuyev to do it. Otherwise he wouldn't have been mispalel for him. So you see from there that if you don't do that, you're an achzari, it must be that you're mechuyev to do it. Homer sameh seinik taz yadei shavaras ragli chayiv. If a person says to somebody else, you know, I want you to knock out my eye, cut off my hand, break my leg, so the guy's going to be chayiv even if he does it. Almanas liftar chayiv. Even if I tell you in advance, do this and don't worry, you'll be putter, still you're going to be chayiv. Kras ksusi shavras kadi chayiv. If I tell you to rip my clothing, break my jug, you're going to be chayiv when you listen to me. Almanas liftar, but if I tell you to do it on the condition that you'll be putter, then taka your putter. Asa ken lishploni almanas liftar chayiv beimukufa beimimono. But if I tell you to do something to somebody else, almanas liftar, then it doesn't make a difference whether it's on his bodily harm that I'm asking you to do to him, or whether it's monetary harm I'm asking you to do to him. In either case, you're going to be chayiv. I'm not the bailum on somebody else to tell you that you're off the hook for it. Tanu Rabbanan, kol elu sh'amru d'mei bosho, aval tsaru afilu hevi kol ayali nevayu shabayalam enim chalot sheivakish menu. All that we've been discussing so far is the paying for the boshes. When it comes to paying for the tsar, you could bring all the karbanos and everything you want, the ayali nevayos, the choicest rams in the world, and still you're not going to get a mechila until you ask mechila from the person. There's no way out when it comes to the tsar. Shenemar ha'shev eshesh ki navi huvei spal badcha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avimelech, return the woman, because the husband happens to be a Navi and he'll daven for you and everything will then be okay. So it's frankly Gemara, what? The Eishas Navi Bayaduri, Eishas Achalo Bayaduri. Only when you kidnap Nevi'im's wives, you have to return them. Otherwise, you don't have to return them. So Rabbi Shlomo and Machani, I'm Rabbi Yonah's son, Hashev Eishas Ish, Mikal Makom. No, the way it goes is like this. He says, Hashev Eishas Ish, return the woman, period. And that which you taina, I didn't know any better. They told me that they're brother and sister. How was I supposed to know? I didn't do anything wrong. Why should I get punished? Etc. Navihu, you should know that he's a Navi. And as a Navi, he used to walk around, and we certainly know this about Avram Avinu. Read the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, how he describes what Avram Avinu's early life was like. He would walk around teaching everybody all of the messages of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if he went to your town, he certainly taught, and the word has certainly gotten around about his teachings, that Achsonai Shabbal Yer, Aliske Achili V'shtiyah Sholin Oso, Aliske Yishto Sholin Oso, Yishtochei Achoschehi. Right, certainly you've heard the idea that it's proper Derech Eretz, that when a guest comes to town, the first thing you ask is not, hey, is that your sister or your wife? First thing you ask is, do you need something to drink? Can I offer you a place to stay? So he picked up right away from the fact that you didn't learn. You weren't asking those kinds of questions. You were asking whether it's his wife. He knew what was going to happen if he told you that he was her husband. So don't pretend that you're so innocent. Mikal ben Noach shenerek sheilo limud v'lalamed. And that's the very, very frightening phrase, that a ben Noach gets killed because, not because he knows better, but because he should have known better. That a ben Noach has the opportunity to know better. That's what Rav Elchanan deals with in the Kovitz Ma'amarim. In the Ma'amar al Emunah, or the Ma'amar al Bitachon, I forgot which, where he asks the Kash, he says, I don't understand. Ben Noach is chayv in Shavim Mitzvos B'nai Noach, and he's according to the Rambam, he's going to go up, L'Achramei Avesrim Shana, they're going to ask him, why didn't you do the Shavim Mitzvos B'nai Noach? And he's going to say, I never heard of the Shavim Mitzvos B'nai Noach. And he's going to go to Gehenim for that. So why is he going to go to Gehenim for it? He never learned it. So it's this line of Gemara. The information is out there. All he has to do is Google it, right? The information is out there, and it's up to him to find it. What are these two atziros that Hashem stopped the women from being able to conceive? What are the two atziros? And by Avimelech's house. Men no longer at Shech Vazara, women neither Shech Vazara nor Leda. Two by men, the Shech Vazara, and to be able to urinate, they lost the ability. And Shlosh B'ish, Shech Vazara, Ketanim, Veleda. Ravina Amar, Shlosh B'ish, there are three things that were closed off from the men. Shech Vazara, Ketanim, Upita Ba'as. They couldn't go to the bathroom at all. So Shech Vazara, it's urinating and any going to the bathroom, defecating also. So, arba b'ish and four for the women. Shech v'zer v'leido k'tanim pita ba'az. Add in leida. Ba'ad kol rechem. So, amri d'ver Rabbi Yari afilu tanigolah shel beis avimelech lo v'til beit sasa. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped everyone from being able to have children. Even the chickens in Avimelech's house were unable to lay eggs. Now the Gemara is going to tell us 17 different things that were said by Rava to Rava Bar Mari. So 17 different comments that were made, 17 different conversations that occurred between Rava and Rava Bar Mari, and that will take us through the rest of the daf. So number one, Amrle Rava the Rava Bar Mari. How do I know that when you daven for someone else and you need that same thing that you're answered first? That Hashem listened to Eov when he davened for his friends. You say it from there, I say it from the following. Avram davened for Avimelech and his whole family, and then Hashem listened, Hashem made Sarah pregnant. Kasher Amar Avram El Avimelech. And what's the Kasher Amar? Just like Avram davened for Avimelech, that's what happened to him. Tulsa says it's not about making Sarah pregnant, because she was already pregnant from the time the Malachim told her the news that she's going to be pregnant. No, it means that to have an easy labor, that Avram davened that all the women of Avimelech's house should be able to give birth berevach, so Sarah was able to give birth berevach. That's what the Achronim explain. Why does it work this way? It's because if I'm davening for somebody else, so the tzinor, the path through which that bracha is going to come down, is through me, if I'm davening for that person. If it's my tefillah that's causing it to happen, the path through which that bracha takes is through me. So if I need that same thing, it's going to pass through me first, and then it's going to go to the next person. Second conversation, Amalei Rava le Rabba Bar Mari, Minam Milsa Damri Inchi, Bahadi Hutsa Lucky Karva, that next to the thorns, the cabbage gets ruined also, meaning you hang out with bad people, you can get ruined. Amalei Dechsiv Lamat Rivoy, like that Kodesh Baruch Hu says to the Navi Yirmiyahu, why did you all sin against me, including Yirmiyahu in the group, even though you didn't do anything wrong? I have a different source for this idea. Moshe and Aaron are apparently included in the Musar about collecting the man, about saving up the man, rather, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, how long are you going to stop listening to me? How long are you going to not listen to me for? And he includes everybody. It sounds like even Moshe and Aaron, even though they didn't do anything wrong. So you see, when you're together with bad people, sometimes the good people get chopped up also. Number three, Amalei Rav L'Rab Bar Mari Ksiv Umksei Achiv Laka Chamisha Anashim, that Yosef took five men to bring in front of Paro. Maninu Chamisha, who are the five? Amalei HaKam Rabbi Yochan Asun Shehuchbu Lubi Shemos, those whose names are repeated, those whose names are doubled up in the brachos, in the brachos that Moshe gave, are the ones that Yosef brought to Paro. So Tosov here quotes that in the Medrash it's the opposite, that Shanechpolim Giborim Hayikma Yehuda Shanechpol. That Adraba, in the ones whose names are repeated are the strongest, and those are not the ones that Yosef wanted to present to Paro. Yosef wanted to present the weakest to Paro, to sort of give Paro the impression that he doesn't want to draft them and use them in his capital city. Let them go and have their own little space where they won't bother anybody. So Yehuda Nami Yechpoli Mechpol. So frankly, more, but Yehuda's name was doubled, and he was obviously very strong, and that would make six also. So Amalei Lemil Sehu Deichpal. No, Yehuda's name was doubled for another reason. Damar Shlomo Bar Nachmeni Amar Yonasan Ma'idich Siv Yichir Ruvain Vali Amos Yimisav Mispar V'Zos LeYehuda. What does that pasuk refer to? Kolos Narbaim Shana Shai Yisal B'Midbar Yotzmosav Shal Yehuda Megulgal In Baron. The entire 40 years the Jews were in the Midbar, the bones of Yehuda were rattling around in the coffin. Meaning apparently all the Shvatim were carried to Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't just Yosef, it was all the Shvatim that were carried to Eretz Yisrael, including Yehuda. So right, that's what Yosef said before he died, I want you to bring me up with you, implying that they too were going to be brought to Eretz Yisrael. Atsheba Moshe Bikesh Rachamim, until Moshe Rabbeinu asked for Rachamim, that the bones should stop rattling. And how did he ask for Rachamim? Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Mi Gorim L'Ruvain Sheyoda, Yehuda, who's the one that caused Reuven to be Moda on his sin of switching around to his father's bed? Yehuda's the one that caused him. Miyad Shema Hashem Mekol Yehuda. So immediately Moshe Davin Shema Hashem Mekol Yehuda. Hashem, please listen to the voice of Yehuda. And then God listened. Olei Vari L'Shafa. His limbs went back into their sockets. Everything went back to where it was supposed to be. Tosafot points out that in the Medrash it says that what caused Reuven to be Moda apparently was not Yehuda, because the Medrash says that by Mechiras Yosef, that it says Reuven returned to the bar. So where did he return from? So Sheshav Me Sako Mita Aniso, that he returned from his sackcloth and his tainus and fasting for doing tshuva, for switching around his father's bed, which obviously was way before the story of Yehuda and Tamar. The story of Yehuda and Tamar happened after the Mechiras Yosef, because Yehuda was, as Rashi says in Chumash, they horidu migdulaso, they knocked Yehuda out of his position of authority over the Mechiras Yosef when they saw how upset their father was. So, and that's when the whole story of Yehuda and Tamar took place. So apparently Reuven did tshuva before that. So it tells us, but mikol makom lahodaber rabim ad achar shod Yehuda. He only publicly acknowledged his sin after Yehuda admitted to his sin. Once he saw that Yehuda was moda when he made a mistake, so Reuven got the inspiration from there, not just to do private tshuva, but to be moda publicly that he had done an avera. Anyway, so Moshe was davening for Yehuda here, so now his limbs are back in place, but still, lo avakam maskil the mesifta derekia, they still didn't allow him into the mesifta derekia. So ve'al amo tiviano, so Moshe Rabbeinu prayed, ve'al amo tiviano, and it worked. But still it wasn't good enough, because Yehuda didn't know what the rabbis were talking about in the Masifta Derikia, and he was unable to converse with them in learning. Yadav Ravlo, so Moshe prayed that Yadav Ravlo, and that worked too. But still he wasn't able to get things correct la'alacha in the Masifta Derikia, so Moshe Rabbeinu Davin, Vezam Yitzorav Tiyah, and that worked too, and then finally everything was fine by Yehuda. But that's why Yehuda's name is repeated. Number four, fourth conversation. How do I know that being poor chases after poor people, meaning that it's hard to get out of a rut when a person is poor, meaning people who have money have the ability to make more money. So rich people bring the bikurim in fancy gold and silver baskets, and poor people bring it in regular reed baskets. And the poor people give, together with actually giving the Bikurim, they give the baskets to the Kohanim also, because the baskets aren't worth that much. So they give the baskets to the Kohanim as well. But you see, the poor people are becoming poorer, whereas the rich people get to keep their own baskets, and they don't have to give up anything. So Amalei, Atam Mehasav Anamin Mehacha. You have that source, I have a different source for this idea. Itame Tame Yikra, that the Nazir should go around screaming out Tame Tame. If he became Tame, he has to go around screaming and embarrassing himself on top of already the fact that he's the Mitzorah, and on top of the fact that he already has this Tuma, he has to go around advertising it. Number five, Amalei Rava L'Rab Bar Mari Minah Milsa Damar Rabbanan Hashkeim Achol B'Kayitz Bnei Acham B'Chor Bnei Asina. How do I know you should eat breakfast in the summertime, because otherwise the heat can hurt you, and in the wintertime, because otherwise the cold can hurt you, so you need to load up on your vitamin C early in the day, so you don't catch a cold. And that's what people say, that 60 people can chase after you, but still it's not going to chop a person who's mitzafra karach, who had breakfast. Breakfast is a very important meal. It keeps you healthy. So first of all, why 60? So Tosfos quotes that Harav Rabbeinu Meshulam, who says that there are six seasons of the year. Each season is 2 months. So since we're talking about seasonally avoiding illness, avoiding seasonal illnesses, so we talk about 60 chasing after you, meaning all 60 days of the season. That's what he quotes from Rav Rabbeinu Meshulam. But then Tosa says, you know what, you don't even need to say that, because 60 is one of those magic numbers. Chazal sometimes pick numbers whenever they want to exaggerate. They pick certain numbers, 400, 70, 60, there are certain numbers that come up a lot in Shas. So 60 is one of the magic numbers that Chazal use all the time, so you don't really have to come up with any sort of explanation. It's just tam, when they speak Balashon Guzma, that's what they use. But anyway, how do I know that this is true, that you should eat breakfast? You shouldn't starve yourself, and then you won't be hurt by the heat and the cold. I have a different source. So you see a little bit of bread and salt and a pitcher of water, mikan ve'elach, and then once you do that, vasirosi machla mikirbecha, you're not going to get sick. V'tanya machlu zumar, we have a brisa that says machla refers to the gallbladder. V'lama nikra shma machla, why is it called machla? Shashmona m'shol shachala n'yeshba, because there are 83 illnesses that can affect the gallbladder, so apparently is very sensitive. Machla b'gematria hachi havu, and machla is the same gematria as as Mara. Doesn't make sense. As what? Malchus the same gematria as something. Oh, 83, right, okay, that makes sense. Yes, yeah, so Machla B'Gematria Achiyavu, same Gematria as the 83, because that's the 83 illnesses that can affect the gallbladder. I didn't do the math before. Yeah, so V'Kul and Pas Melech Shachas V'Kidon Shalmayim Mevatlan, and all of these things, if you have breakfast, it will take care of all of these illnesses. You can avoid all of them. Number six, Amar Le Rav Le Rabbar Mar Minam Milsadam Rabban Chavar Chakar Yechachamar Uchbal Gavish Mosh. How do I know that if your friend calls you a donkey, you should take a saddle off of a donkey and put it on your own back? Meaning, don't fight back. Someone calls you something, maybe there's a little musr in it. Maybe if someone says that you're this, you're a hypocrite, you're a bad guy, you're that. Okay, maybe you could take some musr from, maybe you could find some truth in it and use it as an opportunity to do tshuva rather than to fight back. Right, so Hagar Shivcha Sarai, the Malach says to Hagar, where are you coming from, Hagar Shivcha Sarai? And what does she say? She was called the Shivcha. She says, I'm running away from Sarai Givirti. So she refers to Sarai as her Giveret, as her boss, because she takes the insult. Number seven, that if there's something bad about you that you have, you should say it before other people say it about you. You should be upfront about it. How does Eliezer introduce himself? Hi, Shalom Aleichem, I'm a slave. Right, if there's something that you have to say about yourself, better for you to say it about it than for other people to bring it up later. Number eight. How do I know where do I know this idea that people say that a goose walks around, but it keeps looking around for its next opportunity for food? Meaning that even as you're walking around in somewhere locally, you should always look forward to plan for the future. So that this is when with the story with David HaMelech, when David HaMelech wanted to go and take the fields of and get help from Naval, because Naval was this rich guy, so David HaMelech asked for his help for his troops, and Naval kishmo kenhu, he was a manuval, he didn't want to help, so David was ready to kill him, and his wife Avigail came and started speaking to David and tried to calm down the situation. And while she was speaking to David, she sort of alluded to the fact that Naval's eventually going to die, and she's trying to make a shidduch that David should have her in mind for after Naval dies. And Ataka happened, David ends up marrying her, so she saw into the future. Amle Rav L'Rabbar Mari Minam Mil Sadamri, and she sent Tachli Mati L'Kacha Dekel Dekal Chavrei Sham of Lo'achal, that a person's tooth aches when they hear 60 aches when they hear someone else eating and they don't get to eat. Amle Dechsi V'li Ani Avdechal L'Tzadik HaKoyin L'Bnei Ben Yadu L'Shal Mavdechal Lo'kara, because Nasan Anavi tells David, you know who he invited to his Suda, and you know he didn't invite me, and he didn't invite Tzadik, he didn't invite Bnei Yo, he didn't invite Shlomo, meaning I'm jealous. Other people are at the Suda and I'm not there. I have a different source for this idea. That Yitzchak marries Rivka, and right after that, right after that, Avram marries another woman, because he sees that Yitzchak has a wife. He feels jealous. He wants a wife. So again, not love dafka, jealousy in its plainest sense, but whatever it means, that it's difficult for a person to see other people enjoying certain things, and you get an itch for it all. Also, that sometimes the way Rashi understands this is that even though the wine belongs to the balabas, you still say thank you to the waiter who pours it, even though, of course, he's pouring. It's not his wine that he's pouring, it's the balabas's wine. Tosfos understands it is that sometimes the balabas owns wine, and he only has to give you a little bit, but he's just very generous, and he just keeps on pouring it like it's water. So, Amalei, Dechsiv, Samachtas, Yavcha, Alav, Laman Yishman, Virun, Kaladas, Bnei Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be Somech Yadav al Yoshua, Uksiv Yoshua Benun Mali Ruach Chachma Ki Somech Moshe as Yadav Alav VeYishmael Alav Kol Bnei Yisrael. Moshe gets all the credit for giving this, for being Somech Yadav al Yoshua and giving him the leadership, the mantle of leadership of the Bnei Yisrael, when obviously Moshe was only a shliach. It was the Ribbono Shelolam's leadership of his people that was being given over, and Moshe was only a shliach. The way Tosfos understands it is that Moshe only had to be Somech one hand, yadecha, and he was somech yadav, both hands. So that's the idea, that even though he didn't have to be so generous, he was more generous than he had to be. Okay, so we have seven more parts to this discussion that we'll finish up tomorrow, God willing.